Okay, before we start Simen Resh Nun Zayin, there's still one more Piskei Tshuva we have to do on Simen Resh Nun Vav, which was dealing with the that they would blow in the days of the Talmud, they would blow six shofar blows to prepare people for Shabbos. And now we said people just go around about an hour beforehand to tell people to close their shops and things like that. So that's what the Piskei Tshuva says. Piskei Tshuva goes into the detail as to what the six blowings were that the Gemara mentions. So they say that the first blowing was at the beginning of the time of Mincha Gedola, which was a half an hour after noon. At noon, half an hour later, that's the earliest time you could daven Mincha, they'd blow the first shofar. At that time, people who were workers outside of the tuchum, outside of the inhabited area, as they worked in the forests, it was time for them to come in when they heard that shofar blast. Obviously, the cities couldn't be that big if you could hear the shofar blast, right? I mean, how far away can you be to hear a shofar blast? But that was number one. The second blowing was now at the time of Mincha Ketana, which is 3 hours later, which is 9.5 hours in the day. It's only 2.5 hours before sunset. And that's where all the workers now were finished. And there was nobody working anymore. It means the workers in the local area already would stop. The third blowing was close to Shkia Sachama. Doesn't say how much. But, and there, at that point, people they insulated their pots or placed them near a stove that was cleared of the coals, and they immediately light the candles and went to shul. So by the third one, you were just about ready for Shabbos. You're wondering, what would you need three more left? A little bit time after that, still before sunset, they then did tkia, trua, tkia. That's the big six, you see. You had three, was just one tekiya, right? So now, a little bit after that, then you get tekiya, true tekiya, I guess for the final stragglers. And that's at that point, when they heard the tekiya, true tekiya, the congregation would begin Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And they would start up Shabbos in there. That was in the days of the Gemara. Nowadays, even though we don't have these shofar blowings, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch still brings the words of the rabbis. Why? Why would you bring it, though we don't do it anymore? To teach us, for every city, if they want to, there is the ability to do as they did in the days of the rabbis. And certainly every individual should try to conduct himself that way. However, the words of the Ramah... the words of Ramah Magavrama Shabrua, we do have a custom for the workers to stop from Mincha Ketana. That's what Mishabur said. 2.5 hours before Shabbos, you should stop based on what shows Zman Yosar. And the businessmen should close their stores the latest 1 hour before Shkia. And lighting candles should be approximately 15 minutes before Shkia. Okay, they say in Yerushalayim, the custom is 40 minutes before Shkia, you light the candles. Okay, good. Now, an ancient minig is to make two callings out, two calls, as it were, one to prepare the people to warm up their foods and to insulate them. And the second call is to light the candles. And that's the custom in many places. Okay, and therefore, how much time beforehand depends on the different traditions that they have. Earlier you do it, obviously, the better it is. Also, the Rambam writes, famous words in Rambam, what should a person be doing right before Shabbos? A person should sit with seriousness and anticipate receiving the face of the Shabbos, just like you're anticipating to greet a king. And that's a great skula for good parnasa for the whole week. Anyone who adds from the weekday to the holy day, add life to him. So that's a good thing. Okay. What else? Mishabur also writes, anyone who is involved in encouraging the people to stop working and to bring in Shabbos properly, and they help them even with their money, and they strengthen them with Shmir Shabbos, and they bring merit to the congregations to give Shurim and teach Shulchan Shabbos and all these other things. It's a big thing, and they will be granted with children who are great leaders of the Jewish people. Okay. And they bring down, one of the Sfarim brings down, that a rabbi had, there was a wise man, a Chacham, who didn't have any sons, and he was given advice to add on to the amount of Shabbos you keep according to your ability, to go into the streets, tell people to close the shops on Erev Shabbos and on Matzei Shabbos, add on afterwards as well, and it'll be a great tikkun, etc., etc. So that's, if you want to have kids, that's a good thing for that as well. Okay, that's the end of Siman Reish Nun Vav. Now we begin a tricky sugya of Reish Nun Zayin, the laws of insulating. All right. We're going to have to learn for a few simanim, Reish Nun Ches, Reish Nun Tes. And then we're out of the cooking business, and we go into other halachos. So we'll be on this certainly for the next number of weeks. Okay, Aleph, ein tomnim b'Shabbos. You may not. What's the word again? I have trouble remembering the English word.
Insulate.
I don't know why I have trouble remembering the word insulate. You may not insulate on Shabbos, afilu bedover she'ein mosif hevel, even if the object you're insulating with does not increase the heat, doesn't make it any hotter. You can't insulate that way. Avol besafek chashecha, however, if it's twilight, tomnimbo, you may insulate with something that does not increase the heat. In other words, on Shabbos, let's say on Shabbos you want to insulate something. Can't insulate under any circumstances. There's two types of insulation. The insulation itself increases the heat. There's an insulation that does not increase the heat. Okay, we'll explain. But on Shabbos, you can't do any insulating. Now, if it's twilight, you can insulate if it doesn't increase the heat. And insulating in a way that increases the heat, you can't do that even before Shabbos. And if you do insulate with something that increases the heat, you can't eat the food even after the fact. If you did it, you can't benefit from insulating. No difference between unintentional and intentional. Okay. V'davka b'tzonein sh'nischamin. But that's davka, something that was cold, that's being warmed up through the insulation that increases the heat. Oh, or even if it was cooked and it's warm, but nitzamik v'yafalo, that the drier it gets, it's still better for it. You're improving the quality of it. But if it remains at the same heat and it doesn't get any better, in other words, it was hot already, and maybe, right, then mutar, it's allowed, because it was already cooked completely before the insulation. The insulation isn't adding anything. You're not benefiting from that insulation at all.
What's the purpose?
Good question. Good question. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah up to this point before we look at the Ramo. Sifkot nauf ein tomnim, etc. La'achar shenispashal hatavshal. This is speaking where the food item has been cooked already. It's already fully cooked. Roitzelahat mino bedover sheishmor chumo. You want to insulate it in something that will guard the heat, will keep it warm. Kigon, for example, bekar muksosos, pillows or blankets. You're not even on an oven now. Let's say you cooked up hot chicken soup. It's very hot before Shabbos, but you're not going to eat it for about 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever. So you do. You wrap it up in a blanket. Okay.
To get away from the stove.
Yeah. Or you turn off the stove. Stove is off. You're not on an element that's producing heat. Okay. What do you have? You have a hot pot. The soup is boiling. You'd like it to be hot when you're going to serve it a couple hours, and the oven is off. Well, if you don't insulate it, as time passes, it will cool down. But if you insulate it, let's say in blankets or pillows, something, okay, that will retain the heat for a longer period of time. Okay, so now why are we not allowed to do that? I mean, what possible problem could exist? If you're not stoking any coals or anything. It's not even on the stove. V'asru lasos came b'Shabbos. You can't do this on Shabbos. What's the reason? For time, the reason is Shema yimtza us k'dei rosot sonenes. You might find that the pot maybe cools down, and then v'yarticha, then you'll heat it up again. The chayv mishum avash will be chayv for cooking. In other words, once you're engaged in trying to keep it warm, what if it doesn't stay warm? Then you might say, oh, I got to do something to warm it up. So you might turn the stove on. So therefore, we say, don't bother insulating things. Therefore, it's rabbinically, this insulating is only a rabbinic prohibition. There's nothing biblical about it. And even according to the one who says that you're not chayev for cooking when you do this, since already cooked once, so let's like this. Let's say it's a hot kugel. So you want to keep the kugel warm. What are you afraid of? Well, maybe it'll cool down, and now you'll put it back in the stove, and you'll whatever. He's just talking about the issue of he's talking about on Shabbos right now. Right now we're on the first sif. First of cotton. Yeah. So he said, what was the concern? The concern is if it cools down, you may put it into an oven to warm it up. But what if the item's a dry kugel? So dry kugel, it's not possible to re-cook dry foods anyway. So you're not even going to transgress, it's not even the possibility of transgressing a biblical prohibition because it's already fully cooked. But he's saying, still in all, it could be a problem, something that's liquid that cooled off. Mikom makom, we're still going to say, Ika lamigzro, make a decree, Shami yichamu al gabayesh, you might heat it on top of the fire, v'yichata b'gecholim, maybe stoke the coals, v'yischayv m'shumaver, then you'll be chayv for making a fire. In other words, as long as you're still insulating, you're still in the ball game, and your mindset is to keep it warm. If you don't insulate, you say, well, it is what it is, and it's going to cool off. And I'm understanding it's going to cool off, and I'm anticipating to eat it cooled off. But if you're insulating it, you're making efforts to keep it warm. So you're making efforts to keep it warm. Then what happens if the effort failed? Well, you'll do something else to keep it warm, which may be a prohibited way of keeping it warm. Therefore, we don't like people insulating things on Shabbos. And we'll see even before, depending on the situation. So that's why you're not allowed to. So therefore, on Shabbos, you may not take blankets and cover it over. We'll see. There's all kinds of rules. What's considered? How much does it have to be covered to be considered insulated? And we'll see. It's got to be covered completely. But anyway, so that's the initial problem with insulating. Then he says in Siv Cotton Bays, and that's even if you're not doing anything to increase, even if the insulating doesn't increase the temperature. Just to maintain the temperature, you cannot do that on Shabbos. Now, what if it's twilight, after Shkia, and before Tzeis HaKochavim? You may insulate, okay, if it's not going to increase the heat. Of base, of Obasafik Hashecha, I have a comment, look later on in Simen, Reish, Samach, Aleph, and Sif, Aleph, in the Haggah. How long is Bein HaShmashos? Okay, fine. Mashka's on what we wrote about Bein HaShmashos. Okay, that's a separate detail. Gimel, Tom Nimbo, you may insulate Bein HaShmashos. The Stam Keteros, because we assume a pot, a general pot, Bein HaShmashos, at Bein HaShmashos time, Rosh Hashem, it's very hot because you just finished cooking it before Shabbat, so it's probably still very hot. The lake of Lemigzer Hagzer Nisko, it's not likely to make the decree that maybe you'll find the pot cold and you'll reheat it. Because it's very, right now on Shabbos, it's already time has passed. Ben Hashmoshes, you know, lasts, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, whatever, depending on how long you hold it. So that's much closer to the onset of Shabbos, so it's not likely the food's going to cool down too much. But on Shabbos, could be any time on Shabbos. It could be a minute after Tzeisa Kuchavim. It could be 2 hours after Tzeisa Kuchavim. So therefore, there's more urgency in the keeping it insulated, and the more the possibility that if the insulation doesn't work, you may cook it. So therefore, we're lenient Ben Hashmoshes. So you could do that Ben Hashmoshes. Next point in Sifkot and Dalet, we say you may not insulate with something that the insulation will increase the temperature heat. We're going to explain what those scenarios are. We'll see what it is. Okay, it's very easy. Let's say you have it. Let's say you've covered over the coals of the stove in a way you may put a pot on top of this, leave the pot on top before Shabbos, right? Now, but that stove is still emitting heat. Now, if you will cover that with a blanket or something, that holds the increased heat, and that will raise the temperature. So we'll talk about that. But now, so if you insulate in a way where the temperature is increased, then you can't do it even before Shabbos. Okay, that becomes the golden rule. Okay, Dal B'davar, Hainu, obviously we're speaking L'tzorach Shabbos, where you need it for Shabbos. Right, that's when there's a difference if it's increasing the flame. Aval L'tzorach Matzah Shabbos, what if you need it for Matzah Shabbos? Since it's going to be for 25 hours holding on there. Muchach, it appears in Simon Tofresh tests in the Ramah, that you cannot, for where he says over there, you may not insulate on Erev Yom Kippur for Matzah Yom Kippur. You're wondering, why would anybody do that? That's the case. You want to have something warm to eat after Yom Kippur. So how are you going to do that? So he's insulating it. And we say, you can't do that under any circumstances, even if it doesn't increase the heat. So it's only can insulate before Shabbos or any of these situations if you want to eat it on Shabbos, but not for Matzah Shabbos. Writes, but he has questions on it. Umasik, and he concludes, the rak chumrahu, it's just a stringency. Shinogim, people had following, but that's not the law. So he's saying not necessarily that's the law. Look in the Levushin, Ali Rabba there, Mashkazam, what they wrote over there. You will be told according to us, we say certainly you may conceal things on for Matzei Shabbos, because the issues of Yom Kippur are different than Shabbos. He says there's not even room to be machmir for Shabbos. He didn't get into reasons, but he's just saying you may for Shabbos. He disagrees over there on Yom Kippur. It's a separate issue, but right before Shabbos, you make insulated for the purpose of after Shabbos. Now, hey, hamosif hevel, something that increases the intensity of the heat. Why? Because if you're already doing something that's going to increase the heat, you want the heat. Obviously, you want it to be hotter. So what's the decree? Gzeira shema yatmin be'efer. You may then insulate it in ashes, sheish bo gecholim, that have coals, and then v'yechat to b'Shabbos, and then you may stoke the coals on Shabbos. Whereas once you're interested in increasing the heat, you'll go to further extents of prohibited activities. And therefore, you can't even do it. Sifkot and Vav, Filbo, Jom. Even while it's still daytime, you may not insulate it with an increasing heat of insulation.
Before Shabbos?
Yes, that's what we said. Let's understand. If it's on Shabbos, no insulation, period. Bein Hashmoshos and before, if it doesn't increase the flame, you may insulate it. If it increases, you may never insulate it. So it's pretty, it's just the three golden rules. On Shabbos, you may never. If it increases, you may never. The only time you may, if it doesn't increase it, and from Bein Hashmoshes and before, you may insulate. That's the general three rules. Okay, now, even if you do it on the day before Shabbos starts. If it increases the heat, you cannot do it. Says the Prima Godim, to afilu in heat min koron chatzos bukar, even if you insulate it before noon, if it increases heat. Mikomakam avidi surah, he did a prohibition. Kishamash about manas or Shabbos, when you leave it in an insulated state for Shabbos, and you did not, ve'enu masalakum chashech, and didn't remove it before dark, you will be penalized and you may not eat this. Now, when is this an issue? Okay, we said v'dafka. When do we say that's an issue? That if you do it even b'dievet, you can't have it. That's if it was cold that you want to warm up. You're insulating it with an increased heat to warm it up, or further warmth will even make it better. But if it was hot as it was, then even if it increases heat, it would not be a problem if you did it before Shabbos. So, Zion, Ocean Eats.
But you said even before noon you're not allowed to.
I know, but we qualified it now. You can't do that when? When can't you do it? If it was cold and the insulating is warming it up.
Warm, let's say.
But if it's totally warm and nothing's going to help, then it's okay. That's what he's qualified that statement. Da'afilum heat, Zion, Ocean Eats stomach. Or it gets dried up, but it's for its betterment. Perish leading to Yevet. We're speaking in the Yevet state only if it makes it better. But initially, Asra feel the stomach rattle, even if making it would make it worse. This is all Bidiyevet. Okay? Remember, this is speaking, what's the Bidiyevet story now? Lichatchila, you do not insulate in with something that increases heat, period.
Right.
But then we said, what if you did? Then we said, bidiyeved, you're prohibited to eat it. So we said, that prohibition is only if you've benefited somehow by that happening. Remember, we're only going to prohibit if you've benefited. If you don't benefit, then what's there to prohibit? Right? So if you had something cool, and now you're insulated in a way that it increases the heat, and now it becomes warm on Shabbos, now you've benefited, so we're not going to let you benefit from it. Or if further cooking made it more edible, whatever, better, we would prohibit. So the bidyeved is asur if some kind of improvement has happened in terms of warmth or whatever. However, if it remains with the heat that it had to begin with, then after the fact it's okay. Even though I was not allowed to insulate before Shabbos with something that increases the heat. But if the item I insulated was already hot, and all it did
increase
it, maybe it made it a higher temperature, but it didn't make it any more edible. It was warm enough. Bidyeved, you could eat it. But again, you should not be doing it initially. So, hatam, the reason is the halah hani ma'isakal, because what he did didn't help him any. So he put it in, it was, let's say, 120 Fahrenheit. The insulate, and it's warm. He could eat it, right? I guess that's warm enough. I don't know. And now it went up to 130. Okay, so what did you get? It's a little warmer. It was warm enough. Now, if it was cold, it was 80. Yeah. You know, that's cold already. Now it brought it up to 130. Oh, wow, that's warm. Now you couldn't benefit from it.
I thought any increase would not be allowed.
No, but if it's already warm, it's very warm. It's just making it a little warmer. You're not really benefiting from it, right? If I serve you food and it's warm, now if I made it a little hotter, is it any better? No.
Some people like it hotter.
Okay, but generally we assume that's not considered improving the quality of the food.
Okay.
If it's cold chicken, cold and now warm chicken, it's a big difference. All right. Okay, where am I up to? That's what I did it. Oh, Vakasam Rungan writes, Do Adin Amatman Bishabas Dover Shane Mosif Hevel, the Sherbet Yevit. Ah, what if he insulated something on Shabbos when it did not increase the heat? We said you can't do that. We said you can't insulate anything on Shabbos. But what if he did after the fact with something that does not increase the heat? And it didn't benefit at all. It was warm.
Yeah.
And at best, it kept it warm. So we say, it's bidyeved, it's okay. Even though you did a transgression, you shouldn't have done it. You violated a rabbinic decree. It only stays with its heat. And you didn't gain anything with the hatman at all. So it comes out the bidyeveds are increasing. So, again, let's see if we can remember all this. You should not insulate anything on Shabbos, lichatchila, period. You cannot insulate when it increases the heat before Shabbos, period. You may insulate on twilight or before if it does not increase the flame. That's lichatchila. Bidyeved, if you insulated when it increased the heat before Shabbos and it improved it from being cold to now warm, because it increased, which you weren't supposed to do that, then you may not eat it, bidyeved, because you would be benefiting from that. But if it was very hot before Shabbos and all it's doing is keeping it hot and it's not improving, then bidyeved, you could eat it. Also, if you insulated a thing that does not increase the heat and it was warm to begin with on Shabbos, but it's not increasing the heat, bidyeved, you may benefit from that as well. I think that is all the possibilities. All right, now we move on to the Ramo. Yes?
Yeah.
Hago. Yesh shomrim, there are those who say, that was hard enough to remember, now we're going to get other opinions now. Yesh shomrim, there are those who say, dim shochach, what if he forgot? Now that's a possibility. Remember, doing it on Shabbos, you can't say I forgot. You know, if you insulate something on Shabbos, how can you say you forgot? You weren't supposed to do it. Now, the problem is, what did we say? Before Shabbos, you can't insulate with something that increases the heat. Well, you know, maybe you planned on insulating it, let's say a half an hour before Shabbos. You keep it insulated until Shabbos. You know it's not allowed, but at least it'll help till Shabbos. Before I light candles, I'll take off the insulation. But guess what? Now you forgot to take off the insulation. Okay? Dim shachach v'hit min b'shogeg b'dover amosif hevel. What if you forgot? Or let's say you thought it was allowed. Okay, unintentionally, with something that increases the fire, bidyeved, he didn't know it was, let's say he didn't know it was usher even, or whatever, or he forgot, shori lechel, you may eat it, some say you're allowed to. That's number one. The Yeshurim says, others would say that this law of atmana, of insulating, is just like shehiyah, leaving it on the flame, and so kolza ena usr, this is only prohibited elikisha osa l'tzarch laila. It's only if you're doing it for the nighttime. Remember, just like we said, you can't leave something on a stove where the coals have not been removed if you plan on eating it tonight, because you may stoke the coals. So others say, so we extend this to insulating. The only problem with insulating at all is if you plan on it. Remember, what's the whole problem at all with insulating? If the insulation doesn't work, you may put it on a warmer place or stoke coals. But that's only going to happen if you want to eat it at night. What are you planning on eating it the next day when there's no coals to stoke anyway by the next day? What if you insulate and say, I'm not eating it till tomorrow? Yeah. And by tomorrow, there ain't going to be no coals to stoke. Right. So therefore, he says, the only time it's a problem with this insulating is if you need it for the nighttime meal. But if you're going to do it for tomorrow, you could certainly do hatmana, insulating while it's still daytime, but never shows that it increases the fire because you're not planning on doing anything with this anyway till tomorrow, and there'll be no coals to stoke tomorrow. Ubidyevit and bidyevit after the fact, you can rely on this opinion of Uvach, but you should not do this on a regular basis.
It's a lenient
opinion. Okay, well, is there a lot of Mishnah Berurah? Yeah, tests. Just one? No, it's more. There's a lot. Okay, so we'll have to continue with the Mishnah Berurah tomorrow.